This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today. I want to talk to you a bit about, do you know what day it is today apart from our harvest Thanksgiving day? Yeah, it is Triathlon Day. It doesn't say that in the Bible, but it is, yes. Oh, it's Pentecost. It's Pentecost. Which is significant. So over the last few days, we've been celebrating Thy Kingdom Come with lots of other churches and globally. And it's been a prayer thing that started on Ascension, which was Thursday last week, and finishes today on Pentecost. So I'm going to talk, Pentecost is an extraordinary day, and I want to talk about that and weave that into what we've been doing today. I also want to extend a congratulations to you for getting here, getting past the triathlon. It seems that this season of the year, there's something blocking off Headingley every other week. So well done on getting through. Thank you for persisting. For those of you who are listening online, sorry you couldn't make it. What we've just done, just to explain for those listening and for any of you who are guests, where we have just bought a building which we've called Vineyard House. That's a photograph of the staircase inside it, by the way, in case you haven't connected with that. And we bought it and we started work on it, but we now need to raise go to external funders to raise funding to renovate it. And it's a big, old, listed building. It's a major project, but it's going to turn into something fantastic when it's finished. And so I felt that it was important that you guys got the opportunity to kickstart that next phase, that next stage. And before we go to external funders, we can say, well, the congregation, the people of the Leeds Vineyard, they're in this. They've primed the pump. So that's what today has been about. If you weren't quite sure, people were bringing their gifts. We distributed these over the last 2 or 3 weeks, and it gave the people the opportunity to fill them in. Some people have emailed online and done it other ways, but they've all gone into the basket. The basket's out the back somewhere. Hopefully it's coming back. There's some safe people have gone to count it, and then at the end of the service, we're going to announce what was in the basket. There's a lot of other stuff that's coming online, and people who couldn't make it today are sending things in, but it'll give us something to celebrate later on. That's what we've been doing. For those of you who know all that, thank you for participating. For those of you who are new, I'm sorry that you've landed on a day when we're doing family business, or exciting though it is. What I'd love you to do on the way out and at the front here, there's lots of these. In fact, I'm going to pass them around now. What I'd love you to do is to take these, and it says on one side, we've just got the picture, and on the other side, it says, "My prayer for Vineyard House is." And what I'd love you to do is to ask God to give you a prayer for Vineyard House. We'll pray it a bit later. But I'd like you to take these away and stick them on your fridge, put them on your desk, put them on your pin board, put them in your wallet or whatever, and just remember to pray, and it may be a visual reminder of what we've done today. One more interesting thing is, last week somebody put this in my hand. We were hanging around at the end, they'd been clearing up, and they found this envelope on a pew. And it says, "Self-assessment, HMRC, BX91AS on it. And I've been in a real dilemma to know what to do with this, because I have no idea whose it is. It may belong to a Methodist person who precedes us in this room. If this is yours, please come and grab it. I don't know whether to shred it, because it might have some important originals in it. I don't know whether to post it, but that might be previous. I don't know what to do." How do you make decisions like that? I'm going to preach on that one day. How do I make a decision about this? If I could open it, but it's definitely, I suspect, confidential information that I might not want to know about somebody who I know. So no, I'm not going to open it. Okay, my theme for today is the Holy Spirit does this to us. The Holy Spirit does this to us. Today is a special day. It's an extraordinary day because it's Pentecost. Pentecost was an amazing event. I'd like to call it a cosmic level intervention by God into the affairs of mankind. The latest in a series of cosmic level interventions in by God. Let's just go back a few steps. So there was just a few months ago, 6 months or so ago, Christmas. And the God of heaven, the creator, sustainer of the world, the overarching power, he empties himself and comes to be with us, becomes a man, humble, created man, born of a woman, stepping into our world, identifying with us in our joy and in our brokenness, living among us full of grace and truth. A cosmic level intervention in the affairs of man. And then Easter, just a couple of months ago, this Jesus suffered and was tortured to death for us, a sacrifice of a holy life, which releases God's mercy and forgiveness over each one of us. And 3 days later, this explosion of power, which raises the dead man to new life and which resurrects in us a hope of eternity. Cosmic level interventions by God. And then just a few days after that, we have Pentecost, when God sends his Holy Spirit to the people who are waiting and praying, as we've been doing. The Holy Spirit, an overwhelming, transforming tsunami of love. When the Holy Spirit comes, we are filled with that love. We are given new life by that resurrection power, and we are sent out. You see, Pentecost initiated the greatest movement of people in history. Pentecost started, you could call it, the Jesus movement. Pentecost saw the acceleration of social and dynamic change throughout the world. As thousands upon thousands of people joined the Way, the Jesus movement, as they became Christians, as they became followers of Jesus, they became radical world changers. It wasn't just about them. They became world changers. They're the ones in that society who fed the poor, who rescued the children from infanticide, who cared for the diseased, and who gave away their money. Radical things unseen in that society. And that's why today we have hospitals and hospices, and schools, and universities, why we live with an ethic that includes the just war principles and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. It's the harvest we sow, we reap for the seed that was sowed radically 2,000 years ago. It's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit does this to us. Let me tell you a story about Bruce, not his real name. Bruce is a young man who is in foster care. And he's 17. He's had a traumatic upbringing. His family have basically not disowned him, but they can't live together. Very manipulative, very dysfunctional, very unpleasant. And he's had to be put into foster care. He's not coping well. He's bunked off college. He's not coping with life. His life is a mess. He's very angry. He has been very angry, very volatile. The relationship with the birth family is poor, and he's in foster care. And about a month ago, he accompanied a bunch of our young people to DTI, Dreaming the Impossible, which is our national youth festival. I don't think he had any idea what he was going to. But he joined in with the other 1,000 or so young people. And there came a point when the leader invited people to receive the Holy Spirit. And so he stood up. I don't suspect he knew quite what he was doing. But he stood up, and one of our young people went over and laid hands on him and asked the Holy Spirit to come. What happens when the Holy Spirit comes? Something happened. Because this last week, he had another really difficult encounter with his birth family. Really difficult. And But rather than erupt in anger and all the usual things, he just melted down, really, and was really, really upset. It was a very unpleasant thing. And the social services were involved and all sorts. And the day after, Liz, who was up here before, took him out for a cup of coffee and just said, "What's going on?" And for the first time ever, he was able to talk about how he felt and what's going on. And he said, "Something's happened since that boy laid his hand on me." And Liz explained a bit. He said, "That's the Holy Spirit. That's God showing his love for you." And he said, at one point, he said, "When that boy prayed for me, it was like I was shown who I was supposed to be. And I realized that I wanted to be that person." Is that awesome? That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's the harvest we reap when we sow. Now, you may never have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in your life changing you. Or many of you, by virtue of being here, you will have done, but it may have faded. You know, that healing process and that radical change he does in our lives seems to have ground to a halt as we pursue our studies, pay our mortgage, raise our children, chase better jobs, watch box sets. And if you're struggling in faith, that may be why. Because the Holy Spirit, you haven't invited him to come in and radically change you and have his way. That's why the harvest may seem poor. Because the Holy Spirit wants to work a transformation in you. He wants to show you who you are supposed to be and put a desire in you to be that person, the one he created to be. And it'll inevitably mean that you will turn out to be a radical person. Let's just see what happened on the day of Pentecost, shall we? You don't need to worry about your Bibles. I'm going to put this one on the screen this time. I just want to read to you from Acts chapter 2. So Acts chapter 2, for those of you who are not familiar with the story, Jesus died, he rose from the dead, he ascended to heaven, but before he went, he said to the disciples, hundreds of them, he said, "Wait and pray, and I will send my Holy Spirit." So they waited and they prayed. And then on a feast day, which happened to be called Pentecost, this happened. The Holy Spirit came, and it was such an awesome thing that they didn't know how to describe it. They said it was like flames of fire. It sounded like a rushing wind. It wasn't. It was indoors, but it sounded like that. It must have been part exciting and part terrifying. And that hundreds and thousands of people began to gather around saying, "What's going on?" The question they should have asked is, "What is the Holy Spirit doing?" And that's what's going on. We hear people talking in our language. Are they drunk? That's what they said. Are they drunk? And Peter stands up and he preaches an amazing sermon and he convicts them and he concludes with verse 36 of chapter 2 of Acts. "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified," he says, he wasn't taking any prisoners, "both Lord," that's King, that's ruler, Lord, "and Messiah," Savior. Covers all the bases. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Listen to this. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." This is God's word to us, and it's absolutely right. And it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. So Peter has explained what's going on. He's explained who the Holy Spirit is and why he has come. And the people are convicted, and they say, what shall we do? And he says, repent, which means you are facing that way, doing your own thing, worshiping your own God, putting yourself at the center. He said, repent means turn 180 degrees and put God at the center. Repent means saying sorry for that to God. Please forgive me. That's what we need to do. Repent. Be baptized. Go through that symbolic thing of being under the water and out again into death and resurrected. We're doing a baptism service on the 28th of July. If you've not been baptized, let's do it. And then he says, "Be receive the Holy Spirit." That's how we respond to the gospel. Repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit. But then he goes on to tell us what this good news is for, what this Jesus movement, this church is for. And he speaks prophetically, for this is what went on to happen. He said, the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. And that's the reason we build this community of faith. We do it for us, to meet our needs, to heal our hurts, to minister to our pain, to encourage our discipleship. We do it for the children, to minister to the children's needs, to the children's hurts, to care for our children who are in pain, to develop our children into fully committed disciples of Jesus. And we do this for those who are far off, for people who don't yet belong to the Christian community. Not people who are geographically far away necessarily, but people who are distant from Jesus, distant from God. People who don't experience the Holy Spirit in their lives, who don't know Jesus as their Savior. Now, like many churches, we are devoted to caring for us and for our children. And part of the way we care for us is we have our small groups. We have lots of small groups. Some of them are taking a break over the summer. Back in September, there'll be 30 or 40 small groups launching, and it's a great place. It's where we provide care for each other. We devote time and energy to developing leaders who can extend care and ministry to us, the adults in the church. We care for us through pastoral care, through marriage courses, through marriage prep, through coaching, through mentoring, through prayer ministry on a Sunday. There's lots of ways that we try and care for one another. And we invest in making sure that the church and the gospel reach our children too. Every week, many volunteers, many of you, are leading and teaching children and teenagers during this time and in various children's groups during the week. You give time and energy to take them away on conferences and camps. Scores of children and young people at Leeds Vineyard are learning about following Jesus, how to read the Bible, how to worship, how to pray for one another. How to discern God's mind regarding their lives and futures. Very exciting. And we do this because we believe that the promise is for us and for our children. Those of you who have children. If you don't have children, they're still your children. This is a family. And part of the vision of Vineyard House is to make it possible to bring the promise of the gospel and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to us, to our children, and young people. And we don't, that's one of the things that we're doing in Vineyard House. I don't have time to explore that now, but that's one of the reasons we're doing that, to do that more and better as we grow. But we don't want to miss the third target of the promise of God, which is for all who are far off. I think it takes an enormous paradigm shift in the British consumer mindset to create a community, as we have done, that is aimed at this third target. The household of faith, the church, is one of the few institutions that exists not just for us and for our children, but for those who aren't here, who may never be here, who will never say thank you, for which we'll never get any payback. Imagine creating an institution that isn't just for itself and for its own members. That raises money to give away. Can you imagine that? What a strange thing. Not just for us, but for those who are far away. And that's what Jesus created when he created the church. And all of us, especially those who've been committed followers of Jesus for many years, need to be regularly pushed outwards towards those who are far off. Let me just raise your awareness in case you'd forgotten. There are millions of people in the UK who don't yet know Jesus as their Savior. Millions of people who don't get the benefit of the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives, the purpose and meaning, the healing that comes, the place to repent and receive forgiveness. People are wandering around with weighed down by shame and guilt, and they don't need to be. Millions of them, brothers and sisters. And if you research shows that many of those, if you ask them, at least half would believe that Jesus is a real person. But over 90% rarely, if ever, go to church. Many of them have been to church but don't go anymore. You could call them de-churched. They would still be in church if they'd received the gift of the Holy Spirit, if he had transformed their lives the way he does. This is another significant part of our vision for Vineyard House. We want the gospel promise to be encountered by those who are far off. And Vineyard House will be, we talked about it being a house of compassion, a house of prayer, a house where people who are far off can encounter the Holy Spirit in all sorts of ways. And the purpose is to provide such an impact that people will turn around and say, like they did to Peter, "What's going on here? What is it about this place? Why have you done this? How do I get that promise?" They might not use those words, but those are the questions they'll ask. And Vineyard House will be part of the outward focus of Leeds Vineyard so that those who are far off get to hear the news. So, what can we do? What can you do as an individual, as a follower of Jesus, to work together with God so that the church, the gospel, the promise of the Holy Spirit is also for those who are far off? What can we do, brothers and sisters? We've given our money, and that's fantastic, and that will God will multiply that, like Liz was saying, and we'll look back in 5, 10, 20, 50 years and think, wow, we put those mustard seeds in, and look what's happened. Let me give you three simple things that you can do, we can all do. Pray, eat, and invite. Okay? I'm going to talk very quickly about that, and then we're going to finish. Pray. Now, over the last few weeks, those of you who've been around, you've been praying for 5 people. We gave out little leaflets or the app where you can choose 5 people to pray for each day. And that sort of thing finishes today. But actually, I would encourage you to keep praying for 5 people or more or fewer, maybe just 1 person. Keep praying. Put them on your reminder on your phone. Put them in your prayer journal, however it is you do. Put them on that card and stick it on the wall. Who is it that God wants you to pray for? Who is it? Your neighbor, a family member, a co-worker? Who do you regularly encounter in your life and begin to regularly pray for them? Pray. How should we pray? What should we pray for them? Let's pray something like this. Lord Jesus, would you send your Holy Spirit and reveal yourself to my friend Ian? You could pray that. Now, he might use you, but it's his job. You've prayed it. So pray. The second thing to do is eat. One of the best things you can do is to eat or drink with somebody to create relationship. It's a bridge-building exercise, isn't it? When somebody sits down with you and you eat together or you drink together, you build a relationship and you begin to know about people. And then you can pray more specifically. Maybe have one of these booklets with you. I find these really helpful, this Try Praying booklet. We've got loads of them out there. Just take these, have them with you. And as conversation starts, it's a great response to some things that people will tell you. So have you tried praying about that? There's a little structure. You can just work through that. If you don't like books, you can get an app, download it, show them how to download it. Maybe do it with them each day. Just follow the little instructions. Pray for the thing with them that they're praying for and see where they go. I don't think she got through the triathlon, but Angela, who normally sits about there, did exactly that with Sue. Sue gave her the little booklet, and I'm going to get her to come and tell a story one day when she's got the courage. And Angela worked through it. It's a 7-day thing, but I think she did it in 3 days, and radically changed her life. The Holy Spirit came and changed her life. And she jumped in partway through our reading the Bible. She started at Genesis, but it was, I think, February, and she's already way ahead. She'll tell you her story soon. So eat. Go and sit down with somebody and invite them for a meal. Take them out to an independent coffee shop or tea shop. And the third thing is to invite. We've talked about this a lot, haven't we? Here's all I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you just to invite. I'm not asking you to bring them. I'm not asking you to say yes for them or no for them. I'm just asking you to invite. Would you like to come too? And it's up to them then. It's up to them what they do. It's up to the Holy Spirit and them to work it out. I just want you to make the invitation. And perhaps there's a small group that's relevant to them. Like maybe a book club group. We have a couple of those running. Or maybe it's through their children. Their children would love to come to something. Or maybe they can just come on a Sunday morning and receive prayer for the first time in their lives. Just ask. Did you know that research shows that 1/4 of all people who if they were asked by a friend to attend something at church, would say, yes, absolutely. 1/4. So if you're praying for 5 people, I can almost guarantee you that one of those people will say yes if you invite them to come. The other 4 might say no, that's fine, but one might say yes. And maybe they will get something of what you got. Many of you became Christians here or recommitted yourself to faith in Jesus here. Wouldn't it be great if in a year's time, 2 years' time, there were another whole bunch of people who had done that and we were able to celebrate that harvest as we've sown into this church? The children are about to come in. And let me just wrap up and conclude, and then we're going to hear what they've got to say, and we're going to hear what the giving has amounted to. Oh, by the way, these little cards, take handfuls of these as well, because they're great to give to people who want to know a bit more information. It's got the web details in the back and all that. Let me conclude. When you invite someone to connect with something Leeds Vineyard is doing, listen to this. When you invite somebody, you express the belief that the gospel that we preach and this community in which we live and move and have our being is not just for us, not just for the children, but it's also for those who are far off. You're expressing that belief when you make an invitation. When you give to Vineyard House, you are expressing the belief that the promise of the Holy Spirit is not just for us, not just for our children, but for all who are far off. So let's do those 3 things. Let's pray for 5 people, let's arrange to eat and drink with them, and let's invite them to church. The children are waiting. I want to just very quickly, though, if we can have the clock ready. Now, if this may not be your thing, okay, and if you're new here or a visitor, please don't feel obliged. Just sit and look at the ceiling for a while. But for those of you who love to pray, I just want to invite you to get into 2s or 3s just for 1 minute, okay? Just for 1 minute, and to pray for the people that you've been praying for, those 5 people. You can share their names or you don't have to share their names, it's however you feel. Just in a small group, 2 or 3 of you, you've only got a minute, just pray that prayer. Lord Jesus, send your Holy Spirit to reveal yourself to my friend. And you can also, when the minute's over, say amen, and then we'll let the children in. Okay? So look around, find somebody who looks nice, who looks friendly. 2 people, maximum 3. If you don't want to do it, just sit back and look as though you don't want to do it. That's fine. We'll put the timer on the clock. You're praying for your friends. Lord Jesus, send your Holy Spirit and let them know you love them. Ready? Go. I did say that we'd given some trustworthy people the basket and asked them to come back when they've counted it. They seem to have gone. So that's at least enough for a flight overseas. I hope I'm just joking. That would be a shock, wouldn't it? Evening Post. pastor made to look a fool by dishonest helpers. I'm padding. I think what we'll do is we'll hear from the children now.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah,
and then we'll regain control a bit later on if they come back.
So we've been praying in Connect and Tifa 12. We've just been having a little bit of time of worship and praying for Vineyard House. Yeah, so Connect is our 7s to 11s children's group, and Tifa 12 as in 1 Timothy 4 verse 12, set an example as young people, and so that's our young people's group. So I think we'll start with, who wants to pray first? Joshua, you're going to pray first. That's great.
Yeah, give me encouragement.
Okay. May people meet you and join you, and may they know that you love them. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Naomi, do you want to come and pray next?
I pray for Vineyard House to bring happiness and a place of comfort and safety to people's lives. Amen.
And where's Reuben? Reuben, you had a word, didn't you? Just one word that just kept going over and over in his head about Vineyard House. Do you want to come and share it?
Peace.
Peace.
Yeah. And Juliet, do you want to come and pray your prayer?
Dear Lord, help people to learn about you and celebrate that you are always here. Amen.
Amen.
And Nathaniel, will you come share your word that you had, please? Thanks.
Well, I just felt the Lord was saying that Vineyard House is like the equipment for the children to meet with those who are less fortunate than them.
That's great. And do you want to come read your prayer, Emma?
Please, God, help create harmony upon all mankind, even though there will always be some. So just please help mankind have no war.
Amen. Martha, do you want to come and pray, please?
I pray that God's presence will come and fill Vineyard House and the community will come together to worship him.
Amen. Juliet, do you want to come pray? You've done it. Oh, Joel, come share your word. I'm losing track. Have I gone through everybody now?
Yeah, I had a word that Vineyard House was not just for the adults, that it was for the kids, and the prayers that they're praying, they're the ones that are going to be used by God to fulfill them. And like Nathaniel said, the equipment is there for them to use, and all the people that are going to be affected by Vineyard House, it's these kids that are going to sort of rule over that and help. Yeah.
Awesome. So you're part of the legacy, and Star Jumps are going to come and show us all their hopes and prayers in a pictorial way. I'll pass this over to Judy. Judy, do you want to explain a little bit about what they've been doing?
So we did some drawings on some big pieces of paper that say, "Thank you, God, for Vineyard House." And there's all sorts of stuff. You might have to come and look at them later. We've got people worshipping and singing. We've got, there's a fire exit, so I like that. This is a very safe place for our people to be. And we've got people singing and dancing. There's some very happy faces here. This person's got a nice cup of tea. They're being looked after. There's a feast going on over here. And there's some, again, lots of... Oh, a games room. A games room as well. Have I missed anything, guys? They've all gone very quiet. But yeah, lots of things to thank God for at Vineyard House.
Well done, you can sit down. So that's brilliant. So it's just so wonderful that the children and the young people are getting a vision for what is happening in Vineyard House also. Are we ready, David? Yeah.
Stay. Thank you. So if you've been reading, did you take that? Sorry. If you've been reading with us in the Bible in a Year thing, you may have been in Proverbs at the moment, and you will have read recently this proverb, 24 verses 3 and 4. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Isn't that great? I think that's a word for us. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. So we are sowing for a harvest, and people are giving generously. Other people are giving online and sending in things through the post and stuff, so we won't know the full number for a little while, but I'll hand over to Alison to explain this next bit.
The next bit. So looking at that basket and what has been inside it, all the different gifts from lots of people, and it represents other gifts that we haven't received yet and gifts that have come in before today. And I just, for me, it says many gifts, but one offering. And I look at it and it reminds me, I don't know whether you know the verse in the Bible where it talks about the body of Christ, meaning the community of the church, our community here is like a body. There are many different parts and they all do different things, but it's actually one whole body. And I just love the reason we sort of did a visual of that, got everybody to actually physically put their gifts in as an act of worship, was just to symbolise that this isn't about individuals. It's not about one person doing something amazing, but it's about what God does that's amazing when our community, the body, the many, join together and have the opportunity to be part of an amazing thing that God's doing. So that basket, one offering, many gifts, all the gifts are valuable to God. They're all important. They're all dependent on each other, just like the body of Christ is described. So we're celebrating the many gifts which have brought together this one offering, which is one step along the way of getting to the point where we've got a permanent place in Headingley to be able to start to doing some of these things that we're hearing God on and dreaming about. So up to now, I feel like I'm at the Oscars now, the winner is. So we are going to be grateful and celebrate and be thankful to God for 76,579 pounds 21 pence. Woo! How great is that? So thank you. Many gifts, one offering. Many parts, one body.
I like the
amazing.
I like adventure. The 1 pence.
I do. I love that. Love that.
The 1 pence is great. Who gave the 1 pence? So it was. You're special. Very special. King David, when he was doing a big fundraising campaign, he prayed this prayer. It's in 1 Chronicles 29. He says, "But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you. And we have given you only what comes from your hand. Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and we praise your glorious name. Now, our God, we give you thanks and we praise your glorious name." Let's worship together. We're going to sing a couple of songs in worship, and in in response and praise, and then we're going to pray for each other, okay? And boys and girls, you're going to be praying for lots of us. What we're going to do is, if I were with you, I would want to receive. I do want to receive the promise of the Holy Spirit, and I sense that for some of you, this is a new thing, and you saying, "I want to receive the Holy Spirit. I want to see Him do in my life what He did in Bruce's life and what He's doing in many of our lives." For some of you, it's gone a bit quiet. It's gone a bit unradical. It's gone a bit And you need a fresh outpouring in your life. You need to receive the promise of the Holy Spirit again. You may have come today with all sorts of stuff that in your life which you'd love to have the touch of the Holy Spirit on you, to heal brokenness, to bring comfort, whatever it is. So I would like you, if you want to respond, how are we going to do this? Children, could you go to that side or that side? Split either side. Go. Oh, by the way, eventually I'll say it's over. And at that point, parents, will you come up and sign your kids out? The list will be up here to sign, but not just yet. Just clear out to the sides, please. And then leave the space free. Yeah, please move. Everybody, yeah, young people. No, I think we'll leave that. I think we need that. Okay. So if you'd like us to pray, I'm going to get the young people, the youth, and the children to come and pray for us, because there's something about when the children lay hands on us, as we heard from that story, that something special comes, and we'll pray for you. If you'd like to us to pray for you, just come forward now. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, if you want to receive a freshening or a new outpouring of His, you want to receive that promise again, or for the first time, please come forward now. Take this opportunity. Get refreshed, get restarted, get replenished. I think probably it wouldn't be surprising if everybody came forward. Who doesn't want that? Anyway, please come. Squeeze right in. Squeeze right in. Come right up. I need to make two rows. You never know. If you're in the balcony, you'll have to make your way down here. Thank you, Lord, for your promise of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you. The promise is to us and to our children and to all who are far off. Push through. Push through. Fill up this gap a bit. Let's just put your hands out and let me just pray for you. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come afresh. Would you bless these people? If you're staying sitting down, then just reach your hand forward or just pray for honor these people. They've put themselves out here. And I know the Holy Spirit wants to come and bless them. And this is their opportunity. So, Lord, come. That's it. Let Him come. Let Him come, Alfonso. The Spirit of the Lord's on you. Let Him come. Yeah? More. More. Now, boys and girls, young people, would you just have a look at these wonderful grown-ups who've come forward and they want you to pray for them. So would you just go and lay your hand on their shoulder and say this prayer, Holy Spirit, come. That's all you need to say. Holy Spirit, come. So come and join in. Just choose one of them to go and pray for. Push your way through them. I know they're blocking everything. You're allowed to pray for your parent if that's the situation. Young people, that includes you, by the way. Go pray for your dad. Yeah, good. Pray this prayer. You can pray it under your breath or you can pray it out loud. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. And keep your eyes open when you're praying. That's it. Wow, it's wonderful to see. I need some more young people here. More. Bless what you're doing. The Spirit of the Lord is on these people. It's wonderful to see. The children lay their hands on them, and it's wonderful. Come, Holy Spirit. It's a bit unusual. It's a bit sort of, oh, what's going on? Receive the promise, Peter. Receive it. Let him come. Let him come. Why don't you all stand? And I'm going to close things off. They're going to carry on praying at the front here. If you'd like us to pray for you and you haven't come forward yet, it's a bit of a scrum, just push your way through. I'd love it if some people would come and actually do pray and engage and help the children, find out what's going on in the lives of these people who want to talk, and you can pray for them more. So when I pray, when I finish, would you come forward, those of you who are regulars here, and get stuck in? Just push people out of the way, it's okay. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here. Thank you that you grace us with your presence. Thank you for what you're doing all around the room right now. Bless what you're doing. Let him come. That's it. Let him come. I'm sort of stopping because I can just see that he's working, he's ministering to many of you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done amongst us today. We give our lives to you. We ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us and change us. Send us out in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming to the Vineyard today. There's more praying that needs to be done up here. Feel free to come up and minister to somebody or look around you at somebody who needs to be prayed for.